Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Hi, friends. My name is Reverend John Reynolds, and it's my great joy, honor, and privilege to welcome you to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. We're a wonderful community of faith that's focused on helping people know God, love God, and serve God. We hope that this worship service this morning will be a blessing to you as you gather here, and we lament not being able to be together in person, but we pray that this worship service, though it may be electronic, might draw people together in new and innovative ways. There's a couple of ways that you can help with that. First, if you feel moved to, we encourage you to share this feed because you never know if somebody in your social network could benefit from this worship experience. So we hope you'll take a moment. It's real easy to do. There's a button just right about here that says share, and we invite you to do that so that other folks can experience this worship service as well. In addition to that, we hope that you'll use the comments section to say hi to other folks who are here with us this morning. We hope that you'll be able to share your prayer concerns or your questions or your feedback about the service. We hope that this is a wonderful way for us to engage one another online as we're all in this together. With that, I'd like to turn it over to our worship leaders. Today, we're going to be talking about hope, even in the midst of difficult circumstances. We're going to be talking about how in difficult family situations, you can still find hope. So we hope that this service is a blessing for you as we gather here today. Amen.
Please join me in the opening prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for being our guide, our good, good Father. Thank you for setting an example for us of what a parent can be. Help us to be as you are, merciful and loving in our family relationships, and help us to create loving families where there are none. In your name we pray, amen.
Hello, my name is Bailey. I am the Children and Student Ministries Director here at First United Methodist Church, and I'm so happy to welcome you all from the comfort of your homes. I hope that you're having a great morning. This is our Young Christians moment, so if you have little ones at home, this is a little message for them. And as our pastor said, we are talking about hope in the midst of hard times. And I don't know about you, but I had a lot of arguments with my little brother when I was little. We did not get along very well when I was young. So we definitely did not have a perfect family, as we are talking about these picture-perfect families. Ours was not one. We used to argue like there was no tomorrow. And my mom, bless her soul, would have us go sit on the steps and hold hands. This is one of the worst memories of my childhood, but I look back on it fondly now. But it was her theory that if we had to sit there and hold hands, that we would stop being angry at each other. So you can imagine this, right? We're sitting there as far apart as we can be on these steps, and we're holding hands, and we aren't even looking at each other because we're so mad. We're just so angry that we had to sit there and hold hands for, I don't even know, it was like 5 to 10 minutes usually. And then eventually what would happen is we would start to bond over our mutual anger at having to be in this position. So we would be sitting there as angry as can be at one another at first, and then slowly our anger would start to redirect towards the person who put us in this situation, which was usually my mom. And so we would be like, this is just ridiculous. I can't believe we have to sit here. Why are we doing this? But in a way, I think it worked because it ended up bringing us closer together. It just wasn't exactly probably the way my mom intended, right? And so I'm not trying to give parents any ideas, because believe me, it wasn't very fun for me and my brother. But if you're having a hard time with your sibling, maybe there's something, even in the midst of all of that conflict, that you can find that you have in common, right? Even if it's a mutual frustration, even if it's a mutual anger. So I love my brother, and we have a much better relationship now that we're both a little bit older and we aren't poking each other's buttons so much. But you'll hear a lot more stories as we go through this this sermon series on picture-perfect families, because my family isn't one. And so I'm pretty sure your family probably isn't too, but you might have different things going on at home. You might have arguments with parents instead of siblings. You might have frustrations with friends who are basically like your family. So it might look a little different for you, but in the midst of that conflict, maybe there's something that can still bring you together. Let's pray together. God, thank you for helping us find ways to connect, even in the midst of conflict. Thank you for helping us find ways to love each other, even when we're frustrated, even when we don't want to, even when we're forced to sit on the steps together and hold hands until we feel that way again. We thank you, and it's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. The scripture lesson this morning is from Genesis 37, verses 1 to 28. Jacob settled in the land where his father had lived as an alien, the land of Canaan. This is the story of the family of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was shepherding the flock with his brothers. He was a helper to the songs of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report to them of their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any other of his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he had made him a long robe with sleeves. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him. They could not speak peaceably to him. Once Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream that I dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Suddenly, my sheaf rose and stood upright. Then your sheaves gathered round and bowed down to my sheaf." His brothers said to him, "Are you indeed to reign over us? Are you indeed to have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more because of his dreams and his words. He had another dream and told it to his brothers, saying, "Look, I have had another dream. The sun, the moon, the 11 stars are bowing down to me." But when he told it to his father and to his brothers, his father rebuked him and said to him, "What kind of dream is this that you had? Shall we indeed come, I and your mother and your brothers, and bow to the ground before you?" So his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Now his brothers went to pasture their father's flock near Shechem, and Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers pasturing the flock near Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." He answered, "Here I am." So he said to him, "Go now, see if it is well with your brothers and with the flock, and bring word back to me." So he sent him from the valley of Hebron. He came to Shechem, and the man found him wandering in fields. The man asked him, "What are you seeking?" "I am seeking my brothers," he said. "Tell me, please, where they are." "Pasturing the flock," the man said, "they have gone away, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. They saw him from a distance, and before he came near to them, they conspired to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into the pits. Then we shall say that a wild animal has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." But when Reuben heard it, he delivered him out of their hands, saying, "Let us not take his life." Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but lay no hand on him." that he might rescue him out of their hand and restore him to his father. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the long robe with sleeves that he wore, and they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty. There was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat, and looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead, with their camels carrying gum, balm, and resin on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him, for he is our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers agreed. When some Midianite traders passed by, they drew Joseph up, lifting him out of the pit, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much for reading the scripture. As you can see here in the sanctuary, we miss you. We wish we could be together. This is probably one of the most difficult decisions that Pastor Lindsay and I have ever made in our ministries. The decision to go back into virtual services instead of in-person services was fueled in large part by the growing numbers of the coronavirus that we've been seeing here in our communities that we serve. And we can't wait to be back together. It's not the same to be worshiping without you here in this space. And we cannot wait for the church to get back to normal. In the meantime, we'll continue to do mission projects, continue to gather in small groups and online, and we hope to continue to be the church that God calls us to be here in this community. And until that point, I hope that you continue to be safe and well. This morning, we're going to be continuing our sermon series about picture-perfect families. And I don't know about you, but I have yet to meet a perfect family. Though there are times that I walk into some people's homes and I look up onto their mantle and I see this incredible photograph of them together as a family, a photograph that's taken where they're all wearing matching outfits with gigantic smiles on their faces. And I remember a couple of times in my life walking into wonderful homes with these beautiful photographs of wonderful families up on the mantle and just thinking, wow, what a great family you have. Well, I have to confess, now that we've taken a couple of those photographs as a family, Pastor Lindsay and myself with our two kids, I know what goes into making those beautiful photographs. I fully realize that in order for that photograph to happen, literally everybody in the family has to get their hair cut. Everybody in the family goes out shopping, and sometimes they buy multiple shirts of the same kind just in case there's a stain on one or the other. And chances are you probably put those shirts on about 5 minutes before the photograph is taken in this frantic rush, hoping that nothing happens, that one of your kids doesn't run off and go play in the dirt or something like that. Now that we've taken that photograph, I know that sometimes the photographer takes about 500 shots just to get the one magic shot that goes above the fireplace inside the home. At least that was our experience. And I have to remember all the time that most of the time, families don't look like that photograph. In fact, most of the time, one of the kids is pulling on a dad's ear or waving their hands frantically in front of a phone or computer when they're talking on it with other folks from work. In fact, I'm imagining that most of us are doing the best we can as moms, dads, children, and families. We looked at this story of Joseph just to remind us that no matter how bad things are in our families, they could always be worse. I mean, did you hear the story this morning? For one thing, Jacob has 12 sons with 4 different wives. That's complicated enough. But these 12 boys all have it out for Joseph. Joseph was his dad's favorite. His dad went out of his way to put together this beautiful cloak for him. Maybe you've seen the play Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, this story that reminds us of this biblical account of Joseph receiving this incredible cloak and all of his brothers immediately having it out for him. In addition to that, Joseph has these dreams that all of his siblings would bow down to him and and worship the ground that he walks on. I don't know about you, but that wouldn't fly in my family with my siblings. If I walked into the space and said, you know, I had this incredible dream that you would all bow down to me, they'd both roll their eyes and walk out of the room. But Joseph's brothers had had enough. They'd had enough of this dreaming boy with all of the wonderful blessings that their father had bestowed upon him that they didn't receive. After all, this technicolor dream coat that Joseph received wasn't easy to come by. It was expensive. It was an expensive garment that their dad had saved to get just for him and not for anybody else. So they created this plot to throw Joseph into a ditch and kill him. But just at the last moment, they decide to spare his life and leave him in the ditch. And then 1 second later, they realize that there was a slave trader that was coming by, so instead of leaving Joseph to die, they decide to sell him off to the slave trader for 20 pieces of silver. I don't know about you, but that's a far cry from the picture-perfect family we see on top of the mantle on top of a fireplace. That's a far cry from what any of us would aspire to as parents. I mean, we hope that our kids get along better than that. But that's the story of Joseph. He's sold into slavery, and admittedly, he goes on throughout the course of his life to an incredible career working right there closely with Pharaoh so that someday when the famines come and crops are wiped out, Egypt's in a pretty good place because during all the good years, they had saved up grain in the warehouse so that when things got bad, which Joseph predicted in one of his dreams, they'd have enough food to go around. Well, I don't know about you, but the story in Genesis reminds us that all of the brothers have to come back to Joseph and ask for his forgiveness. That's the moment that Joseph had dreamed about earlier on in his life, that they would come back and bow down to him, and that's exactly what happens. They come back and ask Joseph for forgiveness. And this is the critical moment. This, I think, is what it means to have a picture-perfect family. That when Joseph's brothers come back to him and beg him for forgiveness, beg him to forgive them for what they've done to him, he does. I mean, at the end of the day, as we move into Thanksgiving and Christmas, some of us will be gathering with our families in new and innovative ways, but we still know where the family battle lines are. We still know the folks in our family that we agree with and that we get along with and that we have harmony with. And then there are some folks that we haven't quite forgiven yet. Forgiveness isn't an easy thing to do. But at the end of the day, I'm here to tell you that forgiveness is oftentimes more about us than it is about the person who wronged us. Some of us, as soon as we see somebody, we instantaneously tense up and get angry and upset. Forgiveness is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. Maybe the first step is just being able to be in a room with somebody without wanting to take their head off. Maybe the first step is picking up the phone and giving them a call and saying we need to talk. And as you move through that process, maybe the next step is that you're able to look at them without instantly having your blood pressure raise. Maybe the next step is being able to stand in close proximity with them without seeing some sort of difference in your heart rate or not getting sweaty palms as you fill with anger and rage and resentment. Maybe forgiveness, as you move through your process, is finally being able to look them in the eyes and acknowledge that they are a human also. Maybe finally forgiveness looks like saying directly to their face, let's let the past be the past. I'm willing to move on. And I have to say, sometimes forgiveness doesn't mean that we have to enter back into a relationship or go back to the way things used to be. Some people are toxic for us and we shouldn't spend time with them. It's not healthy for us or for them. Forgiveness is a process about our own selves. It's about releasing the tension and anger and frustration that we have towards another person. It's about letting go of the stuff that we have on the inside so that we can move forward. Is there anybody that you feel like you have to forgive? Is there anybody who has wronged you in the course of your life that maybe just in the privacy of your own home sometime this week, you can say, God, help me, forgive them. As I mentioned before, there are some folks in our life that are toxic, and it might not be good for you to ever be in the same place with that person ever again. But maybe by doing this incredible work, someday, somehow, you can release yourself of the burden of carrying that anger and that resentment and all of those residual feelings that you once had towards them. At the end of the day, our ability to forgive other people comes directly from God. All of us have things that we have asked God to forgive us for. All of us have asked God to look past our less than glamorous moments. And God does that. And that's why I think God asks us to forgive other people as well. To allow all of that anger and resentment to pass from us so we don't have to carry it around anymore. As we move into this holiday, I hope that regardless of what your family circumstance is, and regardless of what situation you find yourself in, whether you're traveling or staying at home, I hope that you're able to move into this season doing some contemplation, doing some soul searching about whether or not there's anybody that you are called to forgive during this season. At the end of the day, as we move through this extremely difficult year of 2020, maybe there's somebody that would have their lives transformed if you picked up the phone and you called them and you said, I forgive you. Can you imagine the weight that would be lifted off of their shoulders? I think back to the story about Joseph and his brothers, and their brothers come and ask him for food because they're hungry. They don't know where else to go. This is the only game in town. This is the only place that they can go to find food. And there Joseph is, ready and willing to forgive them. I think about that walk that they probably had to take to go confront Joseph, knowing that he was standing there over the grain. All of the lines that they were undoubtedly rehearsing in their head. And then they show up, and Joseph forgives them, and the knots that they had inside their heart are suddenly released. I can imagine tears streaming down their faces. And that's what grace is, an unmerited gift, something we don't deserve. His brothers deserved punishment and resentment, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And Joseph made sure they had enough to eat. And they went home. And they were able to feed their families. Grace abounds. Forgiveness is the currency of our world. It's what allows us to move forward with our lives. So I hope that wherever this message finds you, that you're able to search your heart and ask God if there's anybody that God is leading you to forgive. May you have the courage to ask for forgiveness if there are people that you have wronged in your life. It would make the world a better place if we were able to let the past go and move forward as a healthy, more complete self. May it be so in your life. Amen.
Thank you so much. That was beautiful. It's what a great time to be together. And as I prepared for leading prayer this morning, I don't normally go back and reread and look at the prayers that I've written in the past. But when I realized it was exactly 8 months ago today that we moved online only for worship, I thought it might bring some comfort to revisit the prayer I led that day. I think everyone has a story about those moments in March when we felt like drastic measures were being taken in response to the pandemic. Our personal experience or our degrees of separation between knowing someone who contracted COVID-19 are very likely different today than they were back in March. I know 5 people right now that I'm praying for with COVID-19. 3 of them are in the hospital. So I hope this prayer speaks to our need to draw close to God and be renewed by God's love and mercy. As we enter this time of communal prayer, I invite you to shift your posture into something that is consistent with your personal prayer practice. You may want to close your eyes to shut out any distractions. Maybe drop the phone, drop whatever's in your hands so that nothing can distract you, and invite in the Holy One. Let's pray and bring in the cleansing breath of God. Living God, you created us in your image and breathed life into us. You set the world in motion, and your creation is beyond what any of us could have imagined. We take a breath now in appreciation for your creation. Lord, our world is turned upside down. People are suffering from illnesses, and people are fearful of contracting the coronavirus. Help us to lean into safe and health practices. Lord, we breathe in your hope and promise of new life. We breathe out fear. Lord, renew our energy for loving others, and help us to know how and where we can help. We remember those that are more than just inconvenienced by this pandemic. Your children who face real struggles to care for their families, to pay their rent, to feed and educate their children, to protect the fragile health of loved ones. Help us to lean into caring for our neighbors as we care for ourselves. Lord, we breathe in your love. We breathe out rejection. We breathe in forgiveness. We breathe out abandonment. Breathe in grace. As you breathe out, release your spirit to God's will. May God's favor rest in you and use you to bring God's kingdom close. While we may be separated physically, let us join together in community to recite the prayer that Jesus first taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Hey friends, there are so many different ways to respond to the abundance of blessings that God has provided in our life. One of those ways that we respond is by giving our tithes and our offerings. There are lots of ways that you can do this, even as we gather online. We encourage you, for those of you who are able, you can go online to our website and make a donation to the church through the giving portal of our website. Some of you have been mailing checks to the church, and that's an absolute gift. Many of you have signed up for electronic giving, which automatically debits a gift from your checking account on a monthly weekly or yearly basis. We can't thank you enough for your incredible generosity, and I'm here to tell you that those gifts have made a phenomenal difference here at this church and in the lives of folks in our community. We continue to be a blessing to folks right here in Brighton and Whitmore Lake and all around the state of Michigan, across the nation, and even all around the world. This last week, I received a wonderful note from our brothers and sisters in Czechoslovakia, which our church has had a ministry with over the last couple of years. And they let us know that they were praying for us because we had done some wonderful work over there in that church. We're a part of a global community, and I just want to let you know that your gifts continue to sustain those relationships and allow us to continue to do good work with our mission partners all around the world. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us today. It's my hope that something that took place during the service was a blessing to you as you watch the service online. Wanted to let you know that there are a couple of things going on here at the church that we hope that you'll be a part of. For one, we'd like to let you know that groups can continue to gather here, small groups, during the course of the week. We want to let you know that the church remains open for that activity to continue supporting all of the missions and small groups that we have here at the church. In addition to that, we wanted to share with you that we've got great news from our stewardship campaign. At this point, we've already received about $15,000 more this year than we did last year in pledges. If you still have your pledge that you'd like to send to the church, we invite you to mail it or drop it off at the main office. We appreciate that so much. Finally, you can go onto our website and find a tab under the Adult Faith Formation section of our website that you can get on a new service we have called Amplify Media. It's basically like United Methodist Netflix. You can go on there, do Bible studies, book studies, watch videos. We encourage you to do that to continue in your faith journey during these winter months. We hope that you'll go onto our website and find your way into Amplify Media. It's an incredible gift, totally free of charge for you, so that you can continue in your discipleship. As you depart from this live stream this morning, I hope that God blesses you in your week, and I pray that you continue to be safe. We'll see you next time. God's blessings on you. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.